You're listening to the Denver Real Estate Investing Podcast, where it's all about helping you grow your Denver real estate portfolio. Here's your host, Chris Lopez.
Hey, everyone. Chris Lopez here, and welcome back to another episode. So today's episode is the sixth episode in our seven-part series on elevating your flip. And I should actually say that it's not going to be an eight-part series, because last week, Derek Marlin and I were talking that after we do these first seven episodes, we wanted to do a eighth episode to do a live Q&A. So we are going to be doing that one on January 30th at 12:30. We'll have the link up here real soon, but make sure if you have any interest in flipping, make sure you get the details on that, because you're going to be able to fill out a survey to get your question answered if you can't make it live. We'll be doing the Q&A from this series. Then also, we have two open spots in the studio that day. So we're going to invite two people from the audience to come actually sit in live with the show, be on microphone with us, and ask questions. All right, so as you can tell, my voice is weak today. So I'm going to turn over to Derek Marlin. He's going to talk about what we are talking about today and start walking us through his project management. Derek, good to have you back.
Chris, thank you for having me. Appreciate it. So we're going to jump right into, we've done a ton of planning. We've thought about how are you putting your blueprint and your team together? How are you analyzing deals? How are you finding them? A lot of pre-planning with your statement of work and your budgets, your fixtures and finishes of how are you customizing your house and getting it to the finish line. We're going to jump in today to actually running the project. And then kind of a cool transition that we're really excited about is moving from running it via using a spreadsheet document to a piece of software that we've been using for about 2 months now. We are two projects in, and it's called Monday.com. So we'll do some live demos of that. And, I think it's something that I wanted to have perfect, but I think this is better to have a B-type product and get everybody involved. And we can all kind of learn along the way. So we'll do a lot with Monday.com and then leading into our last one, which will be getting the property ready to sell and kind of hitting the finish line. So I'll jump into what we're going to look at. And we will go over a couple of documents first, as far as how we run the project, and then we'll get into the Monday.com application. Overall, our goal is to, whether it's a one-person business or whether it's a multi-person business, but the goal would be is to being at your projects once to twice per week.
On-site once or twice per week?
On-site once or twice a week. I think that you're definitely able to do that even early on if you've got a really organized system. You don't need to be there every day. Not to say that you can't, but my goal would be for people listening is to either have a bunch of other time, give you the ability to work something that's more of a corporate 9-to-5 job, whether it's something that you still really enjoy and want to do this on the side or ideally transition away from, or get to a point where we are where you can have, 5 to 6 to 7 or 8 projects going at once because you're on site once or twice a week and then a lot of the pre-planning. We're also going to talk about one of our philosophies, which is really resolving an issue today, in our opinion, really saves you almost 3 days into the future and how that really applies on a day in and day out basis when you're actually running the project. And then really a big component for anybody in this business is staying on track as far as your timeline is concerned and staying on budget. The other thing that we'll talk about is how we run our projects from a materials perspective. So every single project, we still use a physical binder to keep all of our documents within. And I'll go into what these specific documents are here in a minute, but we've still found that it's still beneficial to have a project binder for each individual flip that we're working on. We also have on-site folders that we show our contractors and have on site. We actually hang it right by the front door. And those of your audience that have been to some of our in-person classes, we train both in the classroom and we train folks in the field. And it's a multicolored folder that really keeps everything on site so that you can keep that correspondence going with your contractor. And we'll dive into what our document suite is. So what I'll do is kind of share my screen a little bit and jump to some of our specific formatting pieces and get into the general contractor contract, the lien waiver, meeting recap changes, and then also into our change order form and our neighborhood flyer. So we're going to shift from our PowerPoint presentation and jump into some specific documents. So the first document is our general contractor master agreement. And this is something that we have and we sign with every individual contractor. And it really helps set the stage, again, trying to be really fair on both sides to demonstrate what your agreement is going to be and then how the project is going to run. It's something that we've developed with our attorney. We've used with, gosh, I want to say 7 different contractors over the last 5 years, maybe even 8. So we've had a lot of different people give input on this document. And it's been, I think, a really nice blending of what protects both sides without being overly complicated. So we'll quickly kind of go through this. This is something that we share with clients that work with us on more of a one-on-one basis, but it just shows the level of detail that I think you really need to have. So the first part talks about you as a company or you as an individual and contracting for each individual project. So it's really important to have this document for every individual project. The second part is the scope of work, which we use as an addendum to this specific contract. And that is, if we think back to one of our prior episodes, if it's a condo or a townhome, it is a one-page document that looks at how are you remodeling the whole project. And if it's a more involved project that we just went through last time in our last episode, it's a spreadsheet where every individual room is a separate tab on a spreadsheet, and we use that as an addendum. So you've got your contract, which talks about how the contract is going to work with you and your GC, but you have a statement of work that's an addendum. Changes in the statement of work, this acknowledges that, hey, that is going to come up from time to time, and we both need to agree in writing, both for the dollar amount and then also the amount of time, which is really important because we have incentive clauses for our contractors that if they finish on time or hopefully under time, then they're eligible for a performance bonus. Kind of scroll through these so that we can get to the Monday.com information. There's a start date and an end date to every one of our projects, and we put in there a specific amount for completion time. We do have what attorneys call in their world liquidated damages, which is a penalty for going over. Really what we're just trying to do is a fair way to keep both of us on track. We understand that the reality is again, when we do change orders, if we're going to do more work or something comes up, there's got to be more time involved in a project, but it also keeps people hopefully relatively on track to say, this was supposed to be your finish time. If not, it's essentially covering any interest that we might have.
Sorry, how often do you enforce that actually? I mean, if it's over a few days, do you enforce it? Or is it more just if it's egregiously over the deadline?
Yeah, that's a really good point. You really just try to weigh the big picture. We usually end up when it's a first project with a contractor, we feel like we're both learning how one another is working. So we've typically, if it's within a day or two or three, we're going to kind of give them a get out of jail free type card and both look at each other and hopefully say in a fair manner, hey, we could enforce this, but we want to work with you guys in the future. Let's tighten up the deadline. It becomes really apparent with the contractor if they are, and really what it ends up being is taking their crews and working on too many projects and not keeping yours going. If we're falling weeks behind, which luckily hasn't happened too terribly often, but from time to time, it totally happens. That's when you want to enforce that penalty and take it out of their last draw. So I think I'd probably have only done it in the last 5 years, probably 4 or 5 times.
Okay.
Yeah. So again, be on the same page, but kind of think big picture as well. And breaking up what our payments are, we like to do draws based on percentage of completion. And then also we pick specific guidelines or markers of when a certain aspect of the flip is going to be fixed to set our draw schedule. So if we are going through a project, doing demo, there might be a draw payment after that. If you are getting to hanging drywall, there might be a draw payment after that. If it's setting cabinets, you want to pick something that is relatively equal. We do anywhere from 2 to 5 payments for a typical project. So you want to be able to keep the amount of work that's happening ideally slightly ahead of the amount that you've paid, so that if a contractor ever walked off the job, you haven't invested more money in the project than what you'd have to reinvest with somebody else. You also don't want to do them, you know, every 2 or 3 days and you end up realizing, oh my gosh, it's been an 8-week project and I've paid 15 draws. Administratively, that's kind of a hassle, but it specifically says, how many payments are we going to make and what's our time frame that we're going to make those payments? Part six is kind of really describes what we just went over, is saying, hey, we're going to pay you within, you submit an invoice to me, we'll pay you within 1 day, and to make sure that we're all progressing properly. Final payment is done when work is 100% done. And we also put in there that if there's any defects that we find, which usually is more just a matter of putting the property under contract, getting an inspection report back from an end buyer, and trying to tighten things up with that contractor, we essentially want to go back to them and say, if it was under your statement of work or your scope of work, hey, let's include that in the cost. Definitely, probably 50% of the time, something might come up that wasn't in their scope of work. We still want to hopefully have them do the work, and we're happy to pay a change order amount for that. We also want to make sure that they're carrying liability coverage, so that if somebody slips and falls or somebody gets hurt on the job, they've got coverage. We also have coverage as well, and that they've got workers' comp on their employees. Their subcontractors have workers' comp on their employees. Taxes, it says that, hey, we're paying you net amounts and you're responsible for paying whatever type of taxes. We're not going to withhold anything. Again, more insurance. We want to make sure they've ideally got a builder's risk policy for any type of issues that come up. And we want the building site or the job site to be clean. And again, if something happens and it's because their job site is a total disaster, that falls more on their side of the table, versus if everything's clean and somebody slips and falls, it's a little bit more straightforward. We do want our contractors to have a bit of warranty, if you will, even though it is a property redevelopment or fix and flip. We like for folks to cover, again, what's in their scope of work for about 9 months. We figure that you're not quite as comprehensive as a new home builder, but we've got to all collectively be able to stand behind our work and make sure that at the end of the day, if something goes wrong, that buyer is going to call me. They're not going to know what contractor worked on the property. So we want to be able to hopefully go back to our contractor and say, let's put our heads together and fix this and figure it out. Assignment talks about, we have to know in advance, separate from a subcontracting relationship, they can't just take my contract and my work and say, hey, I'm going to have a completely new crew be on site and doing all the work, and I'm going to show up once to collect your first check and then at the end to collect your last check. You can't assign this amount of work separate from a contractor. Severability talks about that, hey, if there's one part of our contract that is not enforceable for any particular reason, that everything else in the contract stays in effect. Successors and assignments, that's talking about making sure that anybody that they have that's appropriately being able to sign on their behalf can sign the contract. Again, we don't want to go to court with anybody either, so we'd rather go to mediation if there is a dispute. So again, you know, we did have an attorney draft this to protect both sides, but there is I've never, knock on wood, luckily had to go to mediation, never had to go to court. We typically can always work things out for both sides. And then the last part is talking about what are our attachments or addendums. So typically in most of our properties, we've got our budget that is an addendum, and then we've got that statement of work. So everybody signs, each person gets a specific copy, and we kind of plug along. So that is our contractor agreement. We'll also go into the notes. So again, this is really important. When we're running our projects, we've got a standard form that both I use and my project manager uses, so that every time we're on site, we're filling in this data, and it has the specific information on the property, what's the date and who is at the meeting. And then we have a starting amount of data from the main areas where we're typically talking about for a particular property. This is your blank one. After your first meeting, you essentially take these notes, and it's everything that you talk about when you're walking through a project. So we just found early on that there was so much gray area, and it was, well, remember we talked about this, or I didn't think we talked about that. It's like, no, I literally wrote it down. We show up at the next meeting with a recap of our notes. We use that for meeting number two. We jot new notes. And then for meeting number three, old one gets put in the binder or saved in Google Drive so they can access it digitally or kept in our binder. And then we talk about the notes for, let's say, the third meeting. And you're always building on the prior week's meetings. So you talk about all the different areas of what needs to happen, change orders, issues, good things, bad things, anything else that's come up with renovating the property. And the next section is change orders. So again, we talk about what are we doing? What did we agree to? How much time is it and what is the dollar amount? And then we always have a follow-up. What do we as a company need to do or a staff? And then what do our contractors need to do? So again, just thinking of it, it seems, sometimes a little bit of overkill. I think the contractors sometimes think, man, this might be a bit much, but it totally helps all of us out. So we have a project recap every time that we're on site. Plus it helps me from a staffing perspective. If I'm traveling or we've got multiple projects where I might have one of my managers be on site at one project versus me at another one, I can pull this document up, know exactly what both folks talked about. So that's our project recap. We'll go over this one quickly because we did talk about this in a prior episode, but we do have this on site. And this is a flyer that we have at every property. And also when we first start a project, we pass them out to every neighbor that says, hey, we are a company that is doing a redevelopment in your neighborhood. We want to have a clean job site. We don't want people working crazy hours. And oh, by the way, we buy properties for cash, don't pay any commissions, closing costs, don't fix anything. Whether it's their house or even somebody that they might refer us to, and we pay a $2,000 bonus. Also, it starts to tout the benefits of our partnership flip program. And the guideline, or excuse me, the goal behind this specific document is any issues, I want them calling me first. Whether we've got permits on it or not, I always want to be their first contact rather than them going straight to the city or to other neighbors. We can typically diffuse any situation, being fair about it. And then again, it's a great business development tool. In two different instances, we've bought properties, one right next door and then one street over. So good thing to have. And it helps your contractors when our lovely but nosy neighbors try to get into our flips. I just tell them, hey, give them this piece of paper, tell them it's a liability, which it is, for them to be in the property. We don't want anybody to get hurt. And it really helps our neighbors just call me directly instead of trying to, snoop through our project. And we always just tell them, hey, we're going to have a big open house and we'll show you the after, but I can't have you walking around either A, critiquing what we're doing, or B, from a liability perspective. So it helps our contractors get right back to work. We've also got a general notes form. And this is used early on when we're doing notes, typically before we finalize the statement of work, when you need just a lot of written space to work on, rather than your weekly meeting recaps. And then what is the contractor doing? What is elevation doing? What are change orders? So again, we just want to try to really standardize every document that we have, even if it's just our general notes, rather than writing on a regular notebook, writing on the back of a random piece of paper. Everything lives in our notebook and is standardized. And then this one's super important before we jump into a little more tactical information is the lien waiver. It's something that we use in absolutely every instance, no matter how long we've been working with a contractor. So what we'll do is whether it's a contractor and we make multiple payments, we write down in each specific line who we're paying, how much we're paying, what's the check number and the dollar amount, and we'll get them to initial down the line. If we're making 4 or 5 draw payments, we'll note those progress payments and then we'll total it out. And then this is something that was a combination of both what my attorney drafted and what's on the Department of Regulatory Agency's website, which is our state governing body that oversees the kind of the fix and flip business along with many other professional services businesses. And it essentially says, okay, Mr. or Mrs. Contractor, we're paying you this specific amount of money. It's for this specific project. If they give me an invoice, we put an invoice number to it and we put the specific property on it. It says that we have paid you. And the big thing is you have paid your subcontractors for that dollar amount, date it and sign it. We also have every sub if we're paying them independently. A good example is a lot of times we'll pay roofers independently so our contractor doesn't have to foot kind of a big cash flow type of bill. we'll have them sign it. So this is absolutely probably one of the most critical documents because it proves you are paying them and ideally they are paying their subcontractors. We have had to lean back on this a couple times. We found out that a GC was not paying a sub and we showed that sub and said, man, I am so sorry, but I'm writing the check. They're throwing me under the bus as the owner of the property, but we clearly showed and then they can hopefully resolve it with their contractor.
And can you explain, because if you pay the GC does not pay the sub can put a lien on your property then, right?
They can put a lien on the property, but then you can go back to that subcontractor and show them with this proper documentation, hey, we did put that lien on there, or excuse me, we did put that payment on there. You can't put the lien on the property. You can actually go after the sub and it's called a spurious lien. And so you can go after them if you really wanted to, at least from what our attorney has guided us to, for three times the amount of whatever that lien is. So again, it's not like anybody wants to play hardball, but if I have to, then I have to. And just show them, hey, you know what, you've got to work that out. And then we really become an ally of the subcontractor and pull aside our GC and say, look, I've paid you this amount of money. You have to pay your subs. I don't care what cash flow issues you've got going on or whatever you need to do. So yes, theoretically, they could put that lien on there, but we can typically go after them for that. And when you explain that to them, or usually a one-page letter from our attorney quickly explains that. But yeah, they can, but there's a practical way to move forward past that.
Well, this is just good for people to know, for them to follow, because I've talked to a few people where they've been caught in those situations where they pay their GC, GC doesn't pay their subs.
Right.
And the subs are putting, I think it's a mechanics lien.
Yep, a mechanics
lien. On the property
lien.
Then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you're right. And if you didn't have this documentation, then that's on you as the owner, that lien is a valid lien and you cannot sell that property without curing that lien. So whether it's making them whole, making sure your contractor pays them. But yeah, this is a super key, important part of our business. And usually, ideally, we've had more payments to make to the GC. It usually doesn't end up being the last one. So we'll say, hey, you've got to pay them or else I'm obviously not going to pay you your last payment too. So, you know, again, it's you don't like to have things go sour, but it's the way that things do happen from time to time. And having this paperwork is just such a key part of the way to run a project. So again, that's kind of the way that we help run every one of our projects from our document suite, if you will. And then we'll get into our Monday.com application. So I'm going to click over to, all right, good. It is live and working. Hopefully your audience is able to view this as a webisode rather than just the podcast, because it this is one of the few episodes I feel like really, really is nice to see in person. But I'm sure people have seen a lot of advertising for this, but we took...
Sorry to interrupt you here. Yeah, so if a lot of people are listening to this, you know, click the show notes. There'll be the YouTube video. You can fast forward to probably around minute 22 or so, it looks like.
Yep.
And you will see this because it is a detailed project management system. And it's one of the things where the visual is worth 1,000 words.
Yeah, no, thank you. That's a huge benefit. I think this would definitely be one of the ones that people would want to watch the episode. And so we went from having this document in a spreadsheet that was about 100, kind of ever-evolving, about 110 total steps from how are we planning for the project and major components to how are we actually running the project and running the rehab. So we have a whole separate section for running the rehab. And then we have a whole separate section for what materials are going in the specific project. And then we have a final section for what are we getting ready to do to list the property. So what I love on this one is it is a subscription-based software. We're actually super excited. We're in the final stages of getting approved, or we have been approved, but setting up the partner program through Monday.com. So through this company, they are called Boards, and you can select from about 25 different boards. You could have the classic, let's say, sales tracker. You could have it as a to-do list. You could have it in all these different administrative functions, but we're actually finalizing how to run a fix and flip. So ideally, we'll kind of have this cool elevation board as a predetermined way that will be set up in our fashion to help run projects.
And that's basically like the template or the all the to, task list on how you do things, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So it'll be a pre-populated template that people can use. And I'll kind of go from left to right, which is, and you can add as many columns as you want. Right now, we've got five different columns. The first column is the general heading of what's going on. So we have, let's say, step one, lockbox on the house. And again, it seems simplistic, but you really want to try to think of, am I training somebody who's never done this before or bringing on a new staff member and you were managing this remotely? They have to be able to follow every step of the system.
Yep. And what always has helped me is, I mean, it can seem silly to get this detail, but make every single thing a single focused action item.
Yeah.
Like a lockbox for the house. Yep. One item. Check it off when it's done.
Yeah. I mean, it totally is. And this is something that, again, we're now two projects deep into this. So we are really continually ever evolving. This, I could see this getting up to almost a 150, 175 step process without trying to go overboard. But again, just making it super, super detail oriented. The thing that I like is there's an area for a comment that you can put in there so that you're not making it too terribly long and you're putting in detailed notes under a specific line item. You've got then a staff person of who's working on that specific point within your project. We've got certain areas where we've got multiple staff members. So one of our detailed line items is finalize the scope, SOW, statement of work and budget. That's both my project manager, Daniel, and that's myself. Then you go to the status tab. And so with this one, it's just a simple click and you can decide, you can customize it. Or again, we've currently customized these ones. So kind of the way that we're deciphering our acronyms is WIP, which means work in progress. So that's yellow. We try to think of things as green is done, yellow is it's midstream, red is there's an issue, or black is there's an NA, also not started is another one. So we'll go from not started, work in progress, there's an issue that needs to be addressed, or NA. And you just change these. We change these. My project manager changes them on a weekly basis. Or if I'm doing this myself, I'm changing them on, or he's doing daily. I'm looking at this weekly. And you just update. And I can then pull a master list also on my back end of everything that's work in progress, let's say, for multiple projects. And you can see across multiple boards exactly what's going on. And then the function that I really like is then there's a timeline associated with it. So we can allocate, for example, finalize our statement of work and our budget that has a 2-day marker placed on it. And then you can actually go to a timeline view instead of a list type of view. And you can look at a calendar, whether it's on a daily basis, a weekly basis, or even a monthly basis. And it can show you of whoever that staff member is supposed to be responsible for a certain aspect of the project, you can see exactly what's going on a day, on a week, or on a monthly basis for every aspect of the project. So we'll click back to, we'll get out of our timeline format and we'll go into our main table format without kind of going through every single specific aspect, but it is, again, starting from putting a lockbox on the house, if we need to get an engineer in there, doing a sewer scope, building out your statement of work and your budget, hauling away trash, having our cabinet designer come in and placing cabinet orders and vanities. That's one where you're almost looking at it in two different aspects. You have to do the ordering really early on in your project, and then the install happens later. So this is the classic example of, man, if I don't have a step-by-step system, I get a third into the project and say, okay, it's time for cabinets. No, you should have actually ordered those literally before the project even started. So it's a step-by-step way to look at how are we planning the project.
And before you scroll down the next section, I see you've got, I'll call these subsections here. Project planning is one we looked at.
Yep.
And is this, because you've read about a third of the items you had on there, this is all stuff you're probably doing while you're under contract before the property closes?
Correct.
And that way the next section is great. All of our planning's done. Property closes. Day one, we go to the next section, which is rehab, which is the new task list, right?
Yep, that's exactly right.
And this is only for you. Your contractors don't have access to this, right?
Correct.
Okay, so this is for you and your team to manage your multiple projects.
It is. What you can do is, I feel like we could probably get there with some more tech savvy contractors. Monday.com has a great app for your phone, or we might look, my project manager might get a small iPad so that you can do on-site tasks, take pictures of a specific issue, put it in a note, forward that to the contractor. The nice thing is the contractor doesn't have to subscribe to the service necessarily or see all the different things that you've got going on as a company. And again, they break it up into what they call boards. And so you don't want to share all of the things you've got going on with your company. You can make one specific board, which would be one specific project, as shareable, and then that contractor can access it. So we definitely feel like some of our bigger projects and ones where we've got hopefully repeat business with somebody going, we could definitely foresee going this route. I think it would be huge. We're not there yet, but yeah, absolutely, that's our goal.
And the way I'm just kind of curious from the project management software aspect. So if you have one of your contractors, you are paying the subscription.
Right.
And then you would just add them as a vendor or team member. Mm-hmm. And then they would have access to what you allow them to, or basically like the tasks that they are assigned or tagged in then.
Yeah. And I believe you can do both. Actually, you can give them access to that specific project, or you can only give them access to specific things that are tasked to them.
Okay.
So yeah, that's a great point, because in ours, and there's certain things that on the back end of this software that we'll look at that they're not too worried about. They're finished with the project. They're not worried about when are you scheduling the cleaners? When are you putting the lockbox? When are you running comps to sell the property? They're really worried about their specific aspects. So we're still learning the functionality of this, but yeah, you can absolutely share certain aspects with them. That's a great point. And then you're right. We dive right into the rehab. And you can create as many top tier sections or as many subsections that you want. It's relatively infinite. But one of the things that I like is I can do real time notes and updates. So this is for a specific condo that we're working on. That's been pretty nice and pretty straightforward. So we don't have a ton of extra notes. But for example, under the rehab, we have update the statement of work after we've done the demo, like we talk about. They call it a conversation, which is essentially a note. And it says, from my project manager, chatted with our contractor about using reclaimed wood or shiplap as an accent wall. We're extending this detail to the backside of the knee wall to the kitchen. So you can add as many notes as you want to. And what I like is you can then take this specific note and you can pin it to the top, which means move it up. You can copy it as a link and send that link out to a contractor. You can delete it. The other big thing is you can share it. So if my project manager is getting with my acquisitions manager, who in our company is in charge of a lot of our design elements, and say, hey, I need the fan light combo for the master bedroom. I don't see it in our fixture and finish for some reason. What is it? Then they can ping each other back and forth. So what we're really trying to gear this towards is getting away from using your email inbox or text as a notification. And I want my team to hopefully, and I need to get better at it as well, of coming in each morning, opening up your inbox, but also opening up your Monday.com inbox. And then it's only your specific tasks for each project that are assigned to you. And I'll kind of give a quick demo of that, of what your inbox looks like. Is it gives you the ability to run your specific task just for you instead of somebody else. So again, we're kind of going down without, this kind of gives a good sense of how many steps that we have, as we've got update the statement of work, rough HVAC, rough electrical, rough plumbing. Again, it kind of helps keep your thought process and your timeline streamlined so that you don't miss any steps. It allocates specific staff to it. And then when something's done, you just change your color-coded scheme. Again, you can add, you can delete, you can do whatever you need. You update the specific timeline.
Let me ask you a question about this. I'm really curious. It's more from the whole project management system. You got the timeline column.
Yep.
And I see a lot of these are date ranges, you know, December 5 to 9, December 3rd to 5th. So this is the date range for the due date. Is that the way I'm reading it correctly?
Yeah, it's either due date or it's the amount of time that's been allocated for that specific aspect of the project to happen.
So when I'm looking at, we got tile here, mm-hmm. you're hovering over, it says 3 days.
Yep.
But if you take your mouse over, it says December 4th and 6th. So
yep.
If you are in here reading this, does that mean that's when they're doing the work is what you're projecting? Or what does
Correct.
That mean exactly?
Yeah, for us, that means that is when they're doing the work.
Okay.
So that we can look at this timeline, and my project manager does an amazing job of going in right when we start and building out the project. And then we update it on a weekly basis, or he updates it more so even on a daily basis. And we can talk to our contractors of, hey, are we on track? But this is to look at it almost from an outside perspective or a manager perspective of how is the project moving along? And does it make sense that, you know, for example, for cabinet doors and hardware, it's a 2-day project and we don't have it listed as a 5-day project, or I know it's going to be finished in this instance by December 6th. So yeah, that's a great question. We want to make sure that it runs smoothly.
And then this is, I'm assuming, matches with when the contractor subs or schedule come out and do the work. It's also
correct.
Okay.
Yep, that's 100% right. And then we can also print this. So rather than, again, going from what was our Excel spreadsheet format, is we can print this and we can hand it to our contractor. So if you've got somebody who's savvy enough to look at it digitally, I think that's ideal. But a lot of the folks that we use don't want to kind of be hassled in their instance of technology. So that's okay. Let's just print off this project, or more so go to the timeline format and walk through it with them to say, hey, we're on track or are we not on track? I think it helps them understand when we push back and say, when they say, oh no, we're right on track. It's like, no, well, no, here's our timeline and we're definitely going to fall behind. Don't wait till the end and have kind of excuses for the middle of a project.
So another question on the system, when you go to file print, does it print off in a nice format, or is it like an Excel spreadsheet, which can sometimes be a nightmare when trying to print it?
Good point. It's definitely better than an Excel spreadsheet. Okay. I feel like that's an area where we're trying to give the software a little bit of feedback, that would be a better application or a better presentation, I should say, of how it prints out. So it's better than Excel, but I don't think it's perfect quite yet. When we do print, it's more in the timeline format, more like a Gantt chart. That prints a little bit better rather than the task format. Definitely feels a little more Excel. So that's something that we're trying to give feedback as it pertains to doing fix and flips.
And they'll probably be a little more receptive than Microsoft will be on printing things or feedback, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And they've been great. I mean, it's a super fantastic tool that I think a lot of people are using for a lot of different ways to run their business. And what I loved about this is it is 10 times more organized than any type of kind of personal to-do list or even spreadsheet. It's much more intuitive, but it's not over the top. I know there are, of course, commercial grade, project management software pieces out there. Those were just so far above, what we needed for running single family flips or even, let's say, small multifamily that we do. So I know there's great high-end product, but there just didn't seem to be anything in the middle, or there was tons of personalized entry-level applications. But we feel like this is going to be a really cool kind of advanced, but let's call it midstream type of product that I think a lot of people can use. And I'm excited to, come back on in, let's say, a year and kind of represent how we evolve with this. But they've been, as a company, really great to work with. So then we go from rehab, which is, again, every step of the renovation project, to the actual materials. So again, if you've got somebody on staff or you want to break out what materials are you supposed to be ordering.
So this is for ordering materials.
Yep, this is for ordering materials and keeping track of what are we putting in there. So it's converting your fixture and finish package that we talked about in the last episode to the practical use of what is actually going in the specific property. And so a good example is we had cabinets as one of our materials that we ordered. We've had a couple different issues with 3 items were on back order. 2 of them are base cabinets, which then would delay us doing a template and putting in the countertops, which then affects and delays our main contractor from laying the backsplash. So these are really important updates that we put in, and then we update when everything is supposed to be back online. So, you could have 3, 4, 5 different notes or comments, as they call it, in Monday.com to keep you updated on exactly what's going on and what needs to be resolved. And it's nice because, again, it's kind of that whole that we've all been trained on since we were kids is, you know, red, green, yellow, you can quickly glance at a project and know, oh man, let's quickly go to the red. What issues do we have to tackle? Green's going well and yellow's kind of work in progress. So from materials, you've got cabinets, your vanities, your light fixtures, your backsplash, what stain color are we using for the hardwood? What type of interior paint colors? Kind of anything that you're putting in this specific project. And then we jump down to our last section, which in many instances is getting turned over to either a real estate professional and an agent to list your property, or like us, if you've got a team member in-house that lists things, then it's all the different checkpoints of what they need to do. For me, for example, is I decide, I've got two team members who are licensed agents, so I decide who's going to be selling which particular property, putting our key dates up on our whiteboard in the office to make sure we all know what's going on, scheduling cleaning, scheduling staging, scheduling photos, really every aspect of how are we selling the project, you know, putting a sign in the yard, listing it on the MLS, what's our open house marketing plan? Then, okay, great, we go under contract. What items come up for our inspection? And all of these are listed on our timeline because it's a current project that we've got. We don't have it on the market quite yet. So these are all black, color-coded on our timeline that they are upcoming. So it's literally every single step of our process from doing the closing to writing a thank you note to the buyers. So it's really every single step of what we're doing. And it's been a huge tool. Again, we've only used it twice, but it's something that I'm really excited to see how do we evolve and continue to use this type of software to run really efficient projects. And our long-term vision is that we own apartment complexes in Cincinnati, Ohio. I think we can really take this, lean towards probably more tech-savvy contractors, but start to hopefully flip in other markets. Or it truly, I think, is going to help you scale 10 times better. And then when we get our fix and flip template approved, ideally we can, let's say, work with clients and they can subscribe to this and use the elevation flip template and cut out, you know, tons of work and hours that we put into developing the way this is going to, I think, play out.
A couple things I just want to point out here that I've just some like higher level patterns I've noticed is that, I mean, it looks like you're using this technology very, very well just from the layout of it. Mm-hmm. And I've been in my fair share of project management systems, so I know the layout. I can generally tell if something looks good or not.
Right.
And mine often don't look good. I am not an expert at outlying project management, so sure. I will say that publicly.
Yeah. No, thanks.
But what I really like in your bigger plan is that technology will amplify whatever you have. And the reason you're able to step in here and successfully do it is because you've spent years building your process. You've got the spreadsheet stuff, and now you're taking it up a notch, and technology is just going to amplify what you have.
Yep.
And if you have zero times anything is zero, or zero times something that's, you know, cruddy is going to be still cruddy.
Yep.
But you have something great, and now you can really just amplify things and scale a lot more. And do you have any type of estimate so far as like just man hours this will save you on projects, or is it too early to tell? Because this definitely will. I can tell.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's a little too early to tell, but I think it's going to be substantial as far as man hours for each individual project. So those of you at home that can kind of see us sharing our screen, and again, I hope everybody goes and checks out the YouTube. The nice thing for us is that we don't have to reinvent the wheel. So what we do is we've got just a board that's our new project master. We copy, we paste it, we put the project address on it, and boom, you have every single cell pre-populated for running a project. And then really what turned me onto this is my wife was making fun of me because I had a to-do list spreadsheet that was like 9 tabs long of different either businesses or things to work on with certain employees, or don't forget to pick up your girls at soccer. I mean, my life is a little crazy, and so I needed to kind of detail things out. This is like a to-do list, I mean, just exponentially amplified to the max. And so for us, what I love is they call these boards, but it helps you systematically brain dump even too. So whether we've got something on our new projects and we can start to build out what we're doing of running individual flips, but even from a management standpoint of what administrative tasks do you have? What are you working on with marketing? I've got a business consultant that I work with. So again, anything that you're doing of helping you kind of systematize and again, have this amazing kind of to-do list, this organized to-do list. I think that I'm actually super excited. That's going to save me weeks of time as an individual, but definitely project. It's
so
be
you're using this not just for the flips, but just managing everything, personal and business and other details of life.
Yeah, I really am using it to really kind of run every aspect of what we've got going on. I've got, you know, a sales funnel. So we'll even just click into this really quick of, hey, who are the cash buyers that we're working with? Who are the agents that we're working with? Who are my team working with for business development? Who are some folks that, you know, revenue pipeline for the month and things a lot of that nature. So anything that you need, you can really, I think, just help kind of organize and systematize.
So is that
exactly
basically just
doing.
Like a contact list for you? So like your team has the list, or if you click on their names, does it actually go to projects?
That's a great point. It is just more of a pertinent contact list.
Okay.
We have a separate CRM system that we use. We use Podio, which probably a lot of other investors use.
It's a very popular one.
It's been really good. Kind of, I love it. It's like that middle of the road where it's not Salesforce. It's not super CRM. But again, I don't think we need that for this industry per se, at least at our level. But you need it to be more than an Excel spreadsheet. But yeah, it definitely helps kind of keep top of mind. And this is for me when I go over our folks in sales meetings and operations meetings. It's just, what do we need top of mind? And then what can we do from a larger tracking perspective? But I do think the day-to-day application of what we're doing is running, you know, each individual project. And you know, you can go to add a column and you can put in, you know, 15 different types of columns of every number you want to track. So we could, for this specific project, we could put every dollar amount that we're tracking. So again, we may over time, you know, maybe a year from now, we've completely moved away from spreadsheets and migrated everything to money.com. But for now, we kind of wanted to keep it simple so that we would use it rather than getting overly complicated. But you can add, you know, they have demos where there's 15 columns deep in every piece of data point that you'd ever need. But it's again, super intuitive and seems to be a really great thing for us on how to run projects.
And then from your point of view, just as the, you know, the owner of the business, are you in here every day, weekly? How far are you in here, you know, just over doing the high level check on the project?
Yeah, right now I'm in here every day. I would foresee hopefully over time, again, as we improve the way we're running the company, and I'm super blessed to have great employees and team members, probably 2 times a week, maybe 3. But right now I'm every day, and all of us are really trying to do every day so that we don't hold each other up and we all could get better at it. I'm totally guilty. I could get better at it.
Because you're still going through some growing pains using this, right? Yeah.
Yeah, we totally are. So I need to be in there every day, but over time I would really love to step back. The way that I personally envision this is if I'm sitting at, you know, a board of directors table and I have each one of my folks, whether it's even could be personally, whether it's my CPA or my attorney, or whether it's in another market of somebody running our apartment buildings, or whether it's somebody running our flips, what do I need from them and how can I streamline that? And it really stemmed from the corporate jobs that I worked that I really love, but everybody who wants to spend time writing some super detailed sales report that's going to take you forever and take you away from selling or away from operating. Yeah. I wanted this to be a really fast way that people could go in and 5-10 minutes a day, or maybe, you know, half an hour a week, make their job more streamlined, make it so I'm accountable and I don't say, hey, can you just email me this real quick? I remember always hated that and I don't want to do that to my team members. So again, just what can we do to get better? That's our goal. And we're not there, but I think we're getting there.
Did you look at other project management softwares? I'm just curious.
That's a great question.
If you looked at other, or just you found Monday.com and it was the right, you know, the shoe fit.
Yeah, it really was. I considered a couple other, and I'm trying to think of the names of them, but it was really a quick glance. And then I thought about Evernote. I thought about, I used Homebase for a little while, or no, Basecamp, excuse me. And that was decent, but it didn't really work for what we needed. And then this one just kind of came up, and as you know, being in advertising, background, you know, they are doing a ton of advertising. I thought, well, how could I make this work? And then got in and it was super reasonable. We pay a flat fee for up to 5 users. And so it's pretty reasonable. And then if you want to scale up from there, it's nothing crazy. So yeah, just kind of shoe just really fit and it seemed to work well. And I said, let's just run with it.
Great. I'm going to definitely look at this myself personally, just because I've been through quite a few project management systems. So I know the software is not something that you own, you pay a subscription to,
right.
But the content in there, that's the stuff our listeners care about.
Right.
And just for clarity's sake, you went from a spreadsheet to money.com, and this is available for clients of yours.
Correct.
And also people that attend your academy, right?
Yep, exactly. Okay. Yep. This is the one that we've put so many hours and tons of learning in almost 50 projects now. Into developing. So this is, I guess, semi-proprietary, because you're right, the data that we input into this is 100% our system. This did live in a spreadsheet with drop-downs on it, but we put this into money.com. So yeah, this is something that would be kind of proprietary to us and our circle of folks that we work with.
And can I assume here that real quick, like, what are some different ways people can work with you? Because I know we've mentioned it there for a minute, but like, you've got a couple different programs.
Yeah.
And I won't do justice by repeating it. So
sure.
What are the high-level ones? Because I want to ask a few questions on how we could access this.
Yeah, absolutely. So we work with folks. We've got 3 different ways that we can work with clients. And the first level is a new program that we're launching called the Elevation Academy. And it is truly a training academy that we're launching here coming up very shortly for intense 2-day learning academies. Some people call them seminars, but I feel like—
And this is in person.
Yeah, this is in person. We're doing them in kind of a smaller, more intimate type of setting, running them here locally. But the thing that I love about the way that we're doing is we're teaching folks in the classroom and they're getting every bit. Let's say if they've listened to these 7 episodes, think of it, you know, at the 30,000 foot level. And if you spent 7 hours listening to it, but it takes us, you know, 3 months to flip a project, that's the benefit of getting kind of the cliff notes or, you know, the base understanding of what we're doing, and then diving in and getting every aspect of it and all the different proprietary kind of pieces of the puzzle. And we're doing both in the classroom and then in the field. So we're going to train folks at some of our existing projects. So that's kind of the first way that people can get involved with us, and they will have every bit of information and piece of our system to take it and run. We know that, and we've worked with some people that have done that and gotten it all. They just needed that, you know, amplified amount of information, and they're going to put their own personal stamp on it, run with it. And then if people want to work with us in a little bit more of a personal one-on-one capacity, there's 2 ways that that can happen. There's individual consulting, where we team up with a client. They're, again, going to fund the purchase of their property. They're going to fund their own rehab. And we're going to help take them through every step of this process, so they get all of our educational components, and we meet with them on site, and then we meet with them in the classroom on a weekly basis. And that's usually anywhere from 1 to 3 hours worth of a week worth of truly kind of one-on-one consulting with myself and my 3 team members, doing on a project basis. And then again, that client will have everything they need to kind of run with it from there. And then the kind of highest level of involvement is what we're calling our partnership flip. And we've done a number of those this past year, where we either work with a client who has a property that it's kind of has that classic good bones type of philosophy to the house, but they don't want to just sell it and they feel like they're leaving some profit on the table. So we'll either partner with them. That's where my company and I invest my rehab money. I bring our contractors to the table to run the project, and we do a profit share on the back end for folks that we work with. A lot of people in the senior living space, where mom and dad are moving into a senior living facility. They've got this great house that they've loved and taken care of. They just probably haven't updated it in 30 years. So we put that kind of finishing touch on it and achieve maximum value. They might not want to learn our process. They just want to share in the profit sharing, mm-hmm. have us kind of have skin in the game. But then we've evolved more for your kind of listening audience to the partnership flip and added that consulting piece to it. So the client essentially either brings the house, you know, we're working with a client that they had a bunch of rental properties. They're slowly picking one that they've got a bunch of deferred maintenance on, that they're like, you know what? I feel like the market's doing really well. I still want to probably keep a bunch of them, but this one, I know I'm going to have to spend a ton of money on CapEx or deferred maintenance. let me learn your guys' system. Let me have you guys run the project and kind of have me in the sidecar, if we're using that motorcycle analogy of we're driving and they're with us, but they're learning every step of the process. We are, again, investing our money in the rehab, and then we're doing a profit share on the back end. So we're teaching people how to do it, and we're actually running the project with them, co-investing our money. So there's a couple different ways we can work together. And then we do have some folks that want to do it on their own, and they just say, hey, call us when you've got a good deal. And we do that from time to time, mm-hmm. too, of selling to other investors. But mostly it's academy of one-on-one training in the classroom, consulting of working people with people on a specific project, or truly partnering together in a partnership flip capacity.
And it sounds like, because I mean, I know those different ways will have different, you know, levels of interactions to do with people,
yep.
but those three main ways, the academy, consulting, and the partnership flip,
mm-hmm.
they will get access to this if they want to. Imagine
yes.
that. I imagine some of your partnership flips don't care about this. Just say,
right.
make it pretty, make us
yep.
some money. But the people that want to be involved, they can get, in my mind, it's two things. It's getting the access to the tool.
Yes.
But then it's getting, for lack of a better word, coaching how to use the tool.
Yep.
So that's, they'll get the tool and help on using the tool.
100%. Okay. Yeah, they'll get the tool. They'll get help on using the tool. And then that's really one of the reasons why we developed the academy, is thinking of it from a continuing ed type of basis. We're continuing to evolve the business. And so a good example is, you know, we talked about, how do we know what's current and how do we know what style sells a property? Well, we're updating that continually, but then we're rolling it out to our clients and our circle of people we're doing business with, let's say every 6 to 12 months. So then they get the updated fixture and finish packet of 2 years ago, there was no farmhouse finish and nobody really, you know, it wasn't something that was pertinent in Denver. We knew it's important and people really love that. So now we send that fixture and finish package out to people.
Nice.
Or last year, if we work with a consulting client, or a partnership flip client, we didn't have that application on money.com. Now we say, good news, we've gotten better, we've refined our system. So just think of it from a software perspective of every update or version we want to kind of re-release and share with our network. And then people always ask me, to say, well, aren't you teaching your competition? I guess theoretically, yes, but we truly are of an abundance mindset. And I know if we teach other people how we're doing it, one, they're going to be out looking for projects that would work for us. So I'll buy from them. They'll do more projects. We'll all work, you know, with one another and kind of create that true alumni type of base. It's, you know, I'm a sports guy by nature, and everybody, whether you see somebody who is a Gators fan, because that's where I went to school, people are, you know, high-fiving and saying, go Gators. Well, it's the same thing here from an investment perspective, but probably even more importantly, because we can all earn a living from it. So we really want to kind of cultivate that community and over time have people that we all just work with, buy and sell with one another, develop new vendor relationships. You know, I've got people that I did some training with 5 or 6 years ago, and we refer contractors back and forth, deals back and forth. I mean, it truly is just, how can we all help one another and we're all going to advance?
No, I believe it, because I mean, it's one of those things, at the end of the day, you help people, you train people, your name's out there, it'll create more deal flow and profit for everyone.
Yeah.
Like, that's just how business works, generally speaking, and this is how it works.
Yep. Absolutely.
Cool. So I know that was really helpful. So we'll put links in the show notes or go to the course overview page. We'll have links to all the upcoming academies and more information on these programs, because I think you're also in the process of updating a lot of this on the website too, right?
We are.
Yeah.
Yep, so a bunch.
Yeah. So as always, you know, things are often a moving target. So
yes.
We'll have all the details wrapped up here soon. And either reach out to us, we'll email them to you, or just, you know, check the show notes and we'll link out to these different resources as they get completed. All right, Derek, this has been phenomenal. Any closing things on money.com since I kind of took us on a left turn?
Yeah, no. I mean, I think that just in general, it's something that I think it applies back to people doing this business in general. And I definitely was guilty of analysis paralysis, where I wanted everything perfect. I tried to make everything the best possible way that it could be, which is overall an important way to do business. But I thought about, well, shoot, let's get money.com completely dialed in and refined and let's do 10 projects. But then you had a great point. It's like, no, this is ever evolving. So let's just share it. So we're only two projects in, but I think it's something that people can get a ton of value out of. There could be people flipping in other parts of the country that might have already used this, and hopefully will, you know, reach out to us and say, hey, think of it this way. So no, it's mm-hmm. definitely kind of a collaboration and something that's ever evolving. And then when we teach our classes here locally, where we do our stuff on site or for our academy, we're going to be just repopulating, you know, the most latest and greatest way we're doing this. Just try to share and bring knowledge to other people.
Great. And so we'll wrap up this one. What's in store for the number 7 episode?
Yeah. So number 7 is we've found deals, we've analyzed deals, we've planned a ton, we've run the project well on a day-to-day basis now using Monday.com. Then it's the project is finishing. We're coming down the home stretch. What are the final details that you need to make sure that a project is wrapped up properly, that every aspect is really, really gone through with a fine-tooth comb, walking over your punch list with your contractors to make sure that you've done all this hard work, you've invested all this time and money. You want to make sure that you've got the best possible project out there. Again, it's a win-win for you and your contractors. We want to work with contractors multiple times and deliver the best value for the end buyer. So we're going to walk through what's our blue tape punch list meeting that we do with our subs, working with the contractors, subs, and GCs on how we're paying them and closing out the projects. We talked a little bit about it, but we'll get into how we determine doing completion bonuses for our contractors. And then what do you need to do to make sure that your property is listed properly? So scheduling cleaning, dialing in staging, setting up photos, actually listing it on the MLS, and then how are you marketing on the back end? So it really just gets you to the very end finish line of getting that property on the market and just getting you to the finish line of completing a project properly.
Wonderful. Well, Derek, I really like today's episode just because I like seeing the details and project management system. So thank you. I appreciate you putting together and sharing it. If you're not there, thank you for listening. Have a great day.
Thanks.